you would find the scripture, Hebrews 4:14 through 16. Let me read it to you. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to the confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge that you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And Lord, help me to know that of everybody on this campus today, in this room today, you're going to be tougher on me than you are anybody else. Because with me, there's a strict judgment because I'm a teacher of your word. And Lord, I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to have you here today. It's good to see the carpet wet in the altar too. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's good. We had communion last Sunday. I challenged you with just making the statement of, Lord, I need you. And I'm going to carry that on today with these verses from Hebrews chapter 4. As we start a new year, there's the chance and the resolution that you want to start a new life. And I understand that. But only the Lord can give us the newness that we really desire in our life. And I want to speak to that today from these verses. In verse 14, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, I want to speak about that for just a moment. In the days of Scripture, especially prior to Jesus, the high priest was my connection to God. If I was going to be connected to God, I had to go through the high priest who was the mediator. And the book of Hebrews basically is a book that says we have a new high priest now, and his name is Jesus. That's basically what Hebrews is about. And in that, if I wanted to connect with the Lord, I went through the high priest. He provided the sacrifice. He provided the atonement. He was the one who represented us to God. Now, in this writing, it says, now we, therefore, since we have a great high priest, and I want to use the descriptive word great because it sets apart who Jesus is. Any other high priest now are lesser than. They don't have the status they once had anymore because of it being descriptive here that now Jesus is our great high priest. We no longer need someone to mediate for me. Jesus does that. Jesus has replaced the high priest. He's the great high priest. So all through the New Testament, it talks about Jesus having a ministry of reconciliation. And now for me to get to the Father doesn't happen through the high priest anymore. It happens through the great high priest of Jesus. It says that here Jesus has passed through the heavens. To me and you, that won't mean much of anything. But people back then felt separated from God. And the only way they could connect to God was through the sacrifice and the atonement process and the high priest himself. They felt there was this great divide. This being passed through the heavens means more to them than it probably does me or you. Because it means there's nothing that separates God from us anymore. There's no obstacle. There's no gap. And it means more importantly that the presence of God is now with the people of God. And that's going to be real important later on in the sermon. The presence of God is with the people of God. So there are no obstacles. There's no divide. There's no separation. There's no gap. He has passed through that gap. And now the presence of God is with the people of God. The name Jesus there signifies his earthly name. who he is earthly. He's one of us. But then, yet the title is included that you can't forget that he is God himself, the Son of God. Little seminary lesson in seminary. I had to get used to it coming out of my, you know, being real deep in Southern Baptist tradition. But I had to, I had to get used to about everything we read in seminary referred to Jesus as the God-man. And I had to get used to that. But it's really referring to verses like this. He's fully God and fully man. Don't go saying he's 50% God and 50% man, okay? And that way you can get your 100% out of it. He's 100% God, but he's 100% us. He's the God-man. And he's here with us, and he's there for us. So he is our great high priest. He is how we get to the Father. He has replaced every other priestly code that goes on, and now he's with us. In verse 14, it says, let us hold fast to the confession. The word hold fast means cling to. We're clinging to it. The confession is also a profession of our faith and in the lordship of the Lord. Real quick about the disciples for just a second, and I'm going to lead to their profession of faith, their confession of faith. All the disciples were executed but one, and one died naturally, and that was John. But the rest of them were executed. All of them were executed, never renouncing the lordship of Jesus. All of them chose death over denouncing the lordship of Christ in their life. They would never go back on their confession of faith. It meant their death. That's okay, kill me. I am never going to give up on my confession of faith. Now, out of all the disciples, Jesus was partial to three of them, Peter, James, and John. Out of those three, he was more partial to one of them, and it was John. John's Gospel, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation, and he's referred to as the beloved or the beloved. So he really had a great close friendship with John. And there are times that I will just read John's writings, John the Gospel, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation. Why? Because he knew the Lord. In fact, he's the only Gospel that's not like the other three. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are similar. John is just basically off in another realm, and he's on the deity and the royalness of who our Lord is and who he is and how he came for us. So John never denounce the lordship of Christ either. They tried to kill him. They had this big vat of boiling oil the Christian historians have written about. And they were going to pitch him in there and just boil him alive, right? And they pitch him in there, and he didn't burn at all. In fact, one of the historians wrote, he kind of swam in it, kind of like a nano, 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 you know, like, you know, it didn't burn me or something. And so they couldn't kill him in the vat of oil, boiling oil. So they exiled him on an island, a Patmos, he wrote the book of Revelation. And they believe it all happened because he would not declare Caesar or anyone else as Lord. You need to understand something. The disciples never did give up on their confession of their faith in Christ. And they went through hard times back then. If you didn't declare certain lordships, they would kill you. And here the Hebrew writer says, you've got to cling to your profession of faith. You've got to hold on to your profession of faith. You've got to be able to do that. Let me get personal with you. And if you're a guest or you're new here today, most of the church knows my story. And I try to be as crystal clear about and transparent in my life as I can be. And for those who don't know, our son-in-law, Julie, and our son-in-law passed away in August the 7th. And I want you to understand something. And I'm going to ask you a question. Since Tom's death, do you think the enemy has been easy on me, or do you think he's poured it on me? He's poured it on. How can you preach that? You know your prayers don't amount to anything. If you had the power you said you had, then your prayers would have healed Tom. Your prayers would have healed Tom. If God really loved you and your family, then he would have healed Tom. How dare you get up and tell people to put their faith and trust in someone who took your son-in-law? And you know what I've got to do now, harder than I have ever done in my life? I've got to cling to my confession in the Lord like I have never clung to it in my life. My mom was 90 in her 90s when she passed away. That's okay. You know, that's okay. My dad was younger, but it was still okay. Tom at 31 wasn't as okay. And man, if you think he hasn't put the spurs in my side since Tom's death, don't you go thinking that me and Julie are skipping along in the sunset. I want him back. I'm just going to tell you. I want him. It's selfish. I know it's selfish. I want him back for Laura, my daughter. I want him back for us. I miss him. I want him back for his students. There's a lot of things. If you think the enemy hadn't been bearing down on my ear since his death, how dare you tell people to put their faith and trust? He didn't answer your prayers. He didn't even hear your prayers. I have got to cling to my confession in the Lord harder than I have ever been clinging in my life. I've got to do that. And times aren't easy. Yesterday at the funeral of Jimmy Coffey, I've been giving people this challenge for 30 years. And I don't know if you've just heard me enough, you don't pay attention to me. I don't know if I'm Charlie Brown's teacher, to you anymore. I don't know how all that goes. But I made this challenge 30 years ago to people, and I've consistently done that. And yesterday, you know, I did that. I said, the quicker you learn that this world is not fair, the better off you're going to be. And don't go thinking that Jesus has messed up. Jesus never said it was fair. Jesus never said it was all going to go our way. And then I'm going to meddle. I'm going to open up now and just dive right into your lives. For those of you who follow Jesus so that you're going to get the American dream and live in the gated community, you're in danger of hell fire. You need to know that. Because the Lord's concern is way beyond the American dream. The Lord's concern and love for you is way beyond the grave. It doesn't even start at the grave. And here's the challenge. See if Jesus and the world ever embrace each other in a friendly hug. Because some of us in here will trust the Lord so that we're successful in this world. And Jesus will say there's no such thing as success in this world. There's no way that the world and Jesus are going to have a friendly hug. Let me get a little deeper in the book of James. James says, if you are a friend of the world, can you all finish it for me? You are an enemy of God. So a lot of us want to get cozy with Jesus so we can be successful. He's nothing more than an infomercial to us. And his love for us is way past the American dream, way past the grave. His concern in us is walking into eternity for my son-in-law, for Jimmy, for Miss Dina, who passed away, his wife in July. You and I, the world says their life is over. Jesus says their life has just started. When the world says to hate, Jesus says to love. When the world says get them back with vengeance, the Lord says forgive them. When the world says hoard all your money, Jesus says give it all away. Those are just three little bitty examples where Jesus and the world are never going to agree. Paul wrote in Romans, he said, "If don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And the word conform there means it happens a little at a time, that you don't even know it. I mean, gosh, when you told me Lyrica was 10, I was like, dadgum. Y'all know what dadgum means? Y'all know dadgum? That's a Christian way to cuss, I guess it is, you know? I said, dadgum, 10 years old? Has it, you know, and I was there at her birth, you know, but the point is, it's just happened. Paul said you conform a little bit at a time that you don't even know it. Here's my point. Some of you are into the world so much, and it's happened so slowly, that you look more like the world than you do the sun. And we're to look like the sun. And we end up looking more like the world. You want to buddy up to the world. And Jesus says, don't buddy up to the world. It's not your friend. 1 John 5:19 says the devil, the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. Yes. Here's where I want to really dive into your life. You don't know it. I think you do know it. I just think you're so busy and so tired you don't realize it. But the whole world's got a scheme for you to renounce your confession of faith in the Lord. You and I think, well, the world's just it's just going to hell in a handbasket and it's just falling apart. But at the same time, this old world is trying to get you to back off your confession of faith. And the Hebrew writer, whom I believe it to be Paul wrote and said, hold, cling to your confession of faith. I mean, when times get tougher, it's when I've got to hold on harder. And my confession of faith to the Lord, I'm not the original 12, but I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to die saying that he is Lord of all. And I got to hang on to it because the world is doing, it's got a scheme about it. And it's trying to get me to renounce or to lessen my confession of faith in the Lord. We look at verse 15. He says, this high priest who has come for us, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us. He does. He is there. He weeps with us. He mourns with us. He sympathizes with us. I can even go further and say, when you don't pray, the Holy Spirit prays in your place and beckons the Father on behalf of you. He is there. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. It says he knows our temptations, but yet he never did no sin. He knows sin, but there was no sin. And there was no sin for one main factor. And so he could be the perfect lamb sacrifice for all of our rebellion and our sins. So he sympathizes in our weakness. He knows our temptation. He knows sin, but there was no sin, so that he could be the perfect sacrifice. In verse 16, it says, therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness. This is a reference to the old high priest now that Jesus is the great high priest. And the high priest would go in through a series of tent curtains. There'd be a big tent, a smaller tent, kind of like those little things you get where it's, you know, you open it up and it's just a smaller similarity of what was on the outside. It just keeps getting smaller. Big tent, you know, lesser tent, moving into the Holy of Holies. In fact, nobody could get in there, and they tied a rope around his ankle because if something happened to him in there, they could drag him out. You know, nobody could go in there and get him. Only he could go in there. Now, that's all been removed with Jesus being the great high priest. In fact, there's an invitation for you to go into that Holy of Holies. It's no longer a place you can't go. It is a place that you're invited. So Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, he is always able to save those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for them. And there's an invitation for us to approach his presence. In the old way, only the high priest could do that. Now we can do that. No one has to go for you. It's you. Not only do we approach his presence, it says we approach the throne of grace. In the Old Testament, Isaiah got to see that throne. It's Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. He got to see it, and the Lord set him apart there to become the prophet that he is. If you want to read it, read Isaiah 6, 1 through 7, and he'll describe it to you. Not only do we approach the presence of God, but we can approach the throne of grace, that holy place. We can go there, and not only can we go there, we're invited to come there. And it says here that we are to preach, we are to approach with boldness or confidence. We are to go in there without fear. And then it says, when we go to the throne of grace, we're going to receive two things. It says we're going to receive mercy. And here's what mercy is. Mercy is the Lord holding back what you deserve in punishment. What he holds back is not good. What he holds back is not good. He holds it back. His mercy means what should be headed your way in discipline and punishment and hurt and payback. What you should get for your rebellion, he holds it back. Holds it back. And so in other words, he holds off what you need, what you deserve. And then grace is he gives to you what you don't deserve. Mercy is he holds back the punishment for your dumb choices. He holds back the punishment for your rebellion and your disappointment, your disobedience. He holds it back. He holds back he gives you pardon for your failure. And then when he gives you grace, he gives you what you don't deserve. And that grace we know in Scripture is sufficient, which means God's grace gives you the strength to be able to come through it. To be able to come through it. And the whole time, now I want to put it in living, because I don't live in theory. I don't even live in theological theory. I want boots on the ground. You understand? I want a faith that helps me when I walk, and I want to give you the picture. This world has a scheme. Jesus said, because you love me, the world will hate you. And the world's always going to hate us because of the one who's behind the sway of the world, right? And there's a scheme in the world, and you're moving so fast and you're so tired. Most of you watch TV and you can't even tell me what you watched in the last hour. Y'all are so hypnotized. You know what I'm saying? You can't even have a conversation in your house without having the TV on. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord doesn't say look down at your phone. He says look up. How about that? You know, I'm getting tired of seeing top people's heads. There needs to be a little more eye to eye. That's a whole other thing. I'm not running for office or nothing, but I'm just telling you, I'm just telling you how I feel, all right? I had a good night's sleep. You better, that's saying sick 'em to a dog. You need to know that, so you better watch out on that. But here's the scheme. I'm trying to live for Christ as a believer, and the world is trying to remove my confession of faith in him. And as the world tightens its grip on me to remove my confession of faith in him, then Paul says, I need to cling to my confession tighter. And for you to hang on to your confession tighter, you and I are going to need to go to the throne room. You know where we don't go? To the throne room. Now, ladies, I'm going to let you off the hook. Because if you'll read the Gospels, women were very quick to follow Jesus and put their faith and trust in Christ. You're still like that today. You don't have a problem going to the Lord with things. In fact, I can tell when Julie's gone to the Lord on my behalf. I'm like, come on, woman, quit praying all that. You know what I'm saying? I can feel it. Guys, we don't need no help, do we, guys? We're not going to counseling, let alone the throne of grace. And as the world tries to tighten its grip on you, and then if you don't tighten your grip on your confession of faith, then the world's going to start removing that from you. And for me and you to cling tighter, ladies, again, you're off the hook here because I think you do that. Men, you and I are going to have to go to the throne of grace where we receive mercy and grace to continue on clinging to our confession of faith. And I'm just going to say it because I think it's one of those words of knowledge that I pray about. If it weren't for godly women, the church wouldn't be where it is today, because men, me and you have been lazy about going to the throne of grace. Because we don't need any help. We don't need any help. You go see the counselor. I'm not going to go sing. You go to the throne of grace. I'm not going to go. And for me to cling to my confession, I've got to go to the throne to get the power to be able to do that and receive his mercy and his grace. Do y'all see that picture of how that's boots on the ground? Because the world wants to lessen my confession of faith in the Lord. And don't let it do it, guys. You hear me? I'm saying mainly to guys. The Lord's called us to lead, and we need to lead. It's more than providing clothes and you know, the whole hierarchy of needs. It's far more than that. Far more than that. And we need to go there, men. Okay? You got it? All right. So I'm not waiting to Father's Day to do that. I'm doing it first Sunday in January. I'm doing that. Here's where it boils down to, and here's where I finish with you. Last Sunday in the Lord's Supper, I had you say that I need you, Lord. We do need him. You and I, we all need him. And you may be here today, and you need his mercy. Will you come? You need his mercy. You need him to pardon your failures. So come. You're here, and you need his grace. His grace is sufficient for every season of your life, every situation of your life. And his grace will give you the power to hold on to your confession of faith. As you watch the news and you read the tweets and you read the paper, if you do that anymore, but as you do that, everything that's going on is one big scheme. And it's so that you will renounce the lordship of Jesus. I'm telling you, it's just that really that simple. So cling to your confession. And for me to hold on tight, we're going to have to go to the throne of grace and receive his pardon and then receive his strength of grace to cling to my confession of faith. I want every one of you in here to die saying that Jesus is Lord of all. Amen. If you're here, you've never given your life to Christ, surrender to him. There'll be counselors in the altar. You come today. Surrender your life to the Lord. You're in need of mercy. You're in need of grace. Come and see one of our counselors. Let them pray with you and pray for you in that. It may even help you lead you in that prayer. We also, if you're a believer, we offer communion during our invitation. The bread represents his body given. The drink represents his blood shed. Take the bread, dip it into the drink, and as you eat it, remember his sacrifice and give thanks. And the invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, he invites you to come. Draw near. Approach the presence of God, the throne of God, and invite him into the holy place so he'll give you mercy. And he'll give you grace. Let's stand, if you will. Counselors, would you find your spot? Drew's going to lead us. As the Holy Spirit beckons you, you come.